From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook.
Our devotional for today is entitled Justice Satisfied. The text is Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. My own sight of the precious blood is for my comfort, but it is the Lord's sight of it which secures my safety. Even when I am unable to behold it, the Lord looks at it and passes over me because of it. If I am not so much at ease as I ought to be, because my faith is dim, yet I am equally safe, because the Lord's eye is not dim, and He sees the blood of the great sacrifice with steady gaze. What a joy is this! The Lord sees the deep inner meaning, the infinite fullness of all that is meant by the death of His dear Son. He sees it with restful memory of justice satisfied, and all His matchless attributes glorified. He beheld creation in its progress, and said, "It is very good." But what does He say of redemption in its completeness? What does He say of the obedience even unto death of His well-beloved Son? None can tell His delight in Jesus, His rest in the sweet savor which Jesus presented when He offered Himself without spot unto God. Now rest we in calm security. We have God's sacrifice and God's word to create in us a sense of perfect security. He will, He must pass over us, because He spared not our glorious substitute. Justice joins hands with love to provide everlasting salvation for all the blood-besprinkled ones.
Left His Father's throne above, so free. nation now I dread. Jesus and all.
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts. Entitled, How We Got Our English Bible, this short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his sixth message in the study of the book of Romans. Considering the eternal implications for immortal souls, it is imperative that men and women have a clear and accurate understanding of the gospel. We must be clear about the fact that all that God has to say to mankind, he says, in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, the gospel concerns the incarnation and the humiliation of Christ. In order to be the Savior of sinners, the eternal Son of God had to become a man so that he could die as the sinless substitute for lost souls. Now Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message called The Person and Work of Christ, the Very Substance of the Gospel of Saving Grace.
It's true that the gospel brings God's answer to our need, but only in Christ. Oh, I would to God that people could grasp that. The gospel has been perverted into some touchy-feely, politically correct, mousy little message that God exists to make you feel good, to stroke your fur the right way. That's not the gospel. I heard a charismatic acting out a scene that was supposed to give God's answer to some of the great problems of life, speaking to a young girl who had fallen into immorality and was wondering about an abortion. The message was given that your problem just remains, what this means I haven't a clue, mind you, but it just remains the problem of the world, the evil of the world, unless you decide to do something about it. May the Lord help us when the gospel has been perverted to the level that we go to sinners and we tell them God's answer is for you to do something about your sin. I thank God I have a far better message than that. The message is he has done something about your sin. It's concerning his Son. The gospel's not about the church. The gospel's not about sacraments. All these figure largely in the New Testament, but only as servants to the Son of God and as means of pointing us to Christ. The gospel is all about Christ. When you turn to the New Testament, you must notice how the apostles preached Christ. Acts 5:42. Daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, Philip went to Samaria after the scattering of the saints from Jerusalem. He went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Later in that 8th chapter, we find how God took them out of that revival and sent them to a lonely place to meet with the Ethiopian eunuch. And when he found him reading in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. In Acts 12:20 we read of some more who were scattered. And these men of Cyprus and Cyrene came to Antioch and chapter he said that I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. When he went preaching in Antioch of Pisidia, he said, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you couldn't be justified by the law of Moses. Christ. Christ in his person. Christ in his offices, Christ in his work, Christ in his glorious invocations, Christ in his promises. It's Christ, 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 Christ. Oh, that the world would hear. There is life in Christ. There's forgiveness in Christ. There's acceptance in Christ. There's justification in Christ. There is eternal life in Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. That's the simple yet glorious and sublime message of the Scriptures. The gospel concerns his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must go on. The gospel concerns the incarnation and the humiliation of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that the Son of God was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now you must note the contrast that is certainly intended here. It was the Son of God, his Son, that was made of the seed of David. The word Son is in contrast to the humanity. So this is the eternal sonship. Son of God, that's what he is eternally. But he was made of the seed of David. The word made means he became, or he came to be. And there is an intentional contrast between the eternity of his sonship and the commencement of his humanity. Now we come to one of the great mysteries of Scripture. And I call it a mystery because that's what the Bible calls it. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Or in the words of Romans 1, the Son of God was made or came to be in the seed of David according to the flesh. Now this is real flesh. This really happened. This was not some figment of imagination. This was not some I hesitate to use the word, but it was not some sleight of hand by God to make it appear. There was always a heresy afflicting the early years of the Christian church. It was called the Docetic heresy. It had various arms and branches, but it took its name from the verb that meant to seem or to appear. And the whole idea was that the flesh of Christ was only an apparent flesh. His body was only an apparent body. It was a phantasmal body. It was not a real body. It was not real flesh and real blood. But I tell you, the entirety of the gospel depends on it being real flesh, real blood. Real bones, as Paul said to the Ephesians, he's flesh of our flesh and bone of our bones. This is the truth of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was real flesh, not sinful flesh. Romans 8 verse 3 says he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. That simply says when you looked at the Lord Jesus, he looked like other men. The likeness of our sinful flesh was there, but his flesh was not sinful flesh. It was nonetheless real flesh. The Son of God took to himself a true humanity. Body and soul. The flesh does not merely speak of the body. I'll make more of that a little later. It speaks of body and soul. Or if you're a believer in trichotomy, as I am, spirit, soul, and body. Jesus Christ had a human spirit, for he said on the cross, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He had a human soul. He said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And he had a human body. This is Christ taking flesh. Over in the book of Romans in chapter 9, Paul deals with this again, and he speaks of the Jews. Whose are the fathers, verse 5, whose are the fathers and of whom? As concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Don't want to get off on a tangent here. A lot of your modern translations deliberately turn a statement into a doxology, and they take one of the greatest proof texts of the deity of Christ in the New Testament, and they say, Christ came, period. May God, who is over all, be blessed forever. The translation is without warrant. This is what Paul wrote. Let us understand it. Concerning the flesh, Christ came of the line of his Jewish ancestry, but he is over all. He is God blessed forever. What a step that was. We will, of course, if time permits, to turn to this text for other purposes. But remember how Paul described it in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Down, down, down. When I deal with this subject, I always say, I wish I could sing. This is where I would break into song. Down from his glory. Have you ever heard, I think Gene has sung that for us. Have you ever heard that great song, that beautiful description of Christ coming down, down, down to the depths of our woe to save us from our sin? That was, and this is something people don't really seem to grasp. Every time we say something like this, there'll be somebody lift his eyebrows and come and ask a question, do you really mean what you say there? Yes, we do. That was an irreversible step of divine grace and condescension. The eternal Son of God laid aside the robes of his invisibility, and he took into union with himself a true humanity, and for all eternity, the Son of God will be in personal union with that human nature. That's condescension of such an order that I cannot begin to comprehend it. But the whole gospel stands in that mystery. I want you to be absolutely clear, we're talking about the deity, the absolute eternal deity of the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. And the Son of God takes into union with himself a true humanity. He actually entered into union. I can't begin to even to think of it. At the very instant of the conception of the embryo in the womb of the Virgin Mary, by the supernatural activity of the Holy Ghost, the Son of God entered into union. A union that he would never reverse and he would never break. So that we have a Christ who is truly God and who is truly man, without ceasing to be God, he is truly man. Without converting divine substance to human, without confusing human with divine, in two distinct natures and one undivided, perfect person forever, Jesus Christ, God and man, manifested for our salvation. That's the mystery of the incarnation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.